Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Chris Luman, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you on.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We were talking just before we hit record there that we've been chatting back and forth on Instagram, social media, on everything we've been doing on the Hunter Conservationist and Blood Origins Canada for like several years from now. It's just you're a really good supporter, follower, and I just super appreciate you and have some good conversations.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. And, I'm a pretty big consumer of podcasts in general. Listen to them while I work. And I just found Hunter Conservationist and Blood Origins and Blood Origins Canada to be really kind of like in line with my views and okay. What that when it comes to hunting in the outdoors and conservation in general. So
nice. Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody's got their thing, and the hunting community is like that. And some people just like to watch the hunting shows and not get involved in issues. They're just like, can't be bothered with it and don't want to get involved in things. And other people like to listen and learn and better themselves and stuff. So it's good that there's a little bit of something out there for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's there's definitely a lot of something for everybody out there.
there sure is. Yeah. I'm just wondering about a day when we're going to get lost in the great white sea of podcasts. So apparently British Columbia's like got more podcasts, hunting podcasts, than the rest of Canada put together. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I do believe that. Yeah.
No, it's pretty cool. Some passionate people here in the business. So you were saying you're like living in like right downtown Vancouver.
I am. Yep.
Wow.
I live in a very small studio apartment that's we've vastly outgrown here. Lots of, you know, hunting gear kicking around and nowhere to put it. So I have a very patient partner who puts up with my hobbies, which I really appreciate. So.
Oh, cool. So you could literally, if they ever allowed it, you could go like take care of those Canada geese problems at Stanley Park, right? And
yeah,
I'd probably put them in your freezer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's either that or trapping coyotes. You'd probably get people protesting and
oh yeah, 100%
burning epitaphs on your front door or whatever if they found out you were doing that.
So. Definitely. Yeah. It's an interesting place to live. That's for sure.
Oh, I bet, you know, I bet. So do you like get into conversations with people like on the street about hunting and whatnot? And,
I've definitely surprised a lot of people when I tell them that I hunt, and the general reaction is more curiosity than outrage or whatever, but
it's
I welcome any opportunity to educate people on the way it works in Canada with regards to hunting and everything to do with it.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you. You know, I think everybody always makes fun of, you know, people in the big cities and stuff. And in British Columbia, it's always, you know, like all the anti-hunters live in Vancouver and the urbanites that don't know anything that's going on. And I'm like, it's proportional. You know, you go to any small town in the province now, and there's people that go to meetings and they're completely against like, you know, black bear hunting or wolf trapping or something. And it's the demographic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tell lots of people, it's like, there's probably more resident hunters live in the lower mainland than the rest of the province put together, just simply because like 90% of the population is down where you live.
Yeah. I'm actually curious on those numbers. That'd be pretty interesting to see, I think. I mean, Greater Vancouver area has got something, I think, what, around 5 million people now or something? Or maybe
it's,
that's just
it's, yeah, and it's too, supposed but... to be like 7 million by like 2030 or something like that, the, like the province.
Yeah. Yeah. I do know quite a few people that live either in downtown or around City Vancouver and, you know, New West, Richmond. I know lots of hunters in the Lower Mainland. And,
yeah. No, that's yeah, awesome. It's,
we all kind of make it work, and yeah.
What if, you know, again, kind of these, you know, I think anytime people create like stereotypes about, you know, people that live in the city versus live in rural areas and stuff, when, you know, when it comes to, you know, something like hunting or whatever, that, you know, they generally isn't true. And just in my limited experience, maybe you can sort of see whether or not this is true or not. But in my limited experience, I find sometimes that people that live in big cities, even different places in the world, some big cities that I've worked in and stuff, tend to be a little bit more open-minded about things, because in big cities, you're immersed with more cultural diversity, more like restaurants with different foods. Like you can probably within, you know, 10 blocks of where you live, probably have any type of, you know, food that represents different regions of the world. And, you know, and people are like, wow, let's go for this, try this for dinner and like that for dinner and like, oh, raw octopus. And, you know, and people are a little bit more open-minded. So I'm thinking when the topic of hunting comes up, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's kind of, I was always wondering about this or what, you know, what do you do when this happens? And are you scared of bears? But when you go to some small towns and you're like, hey, pops, would you like to try this octopus on some rice? You know, it's like, no goddamn way. I eat potatoes and beef. I've eaten potatoes and beef for 60 years. Not going to change now. And
it's like, I mean, those people, they definitely exist in the city as well.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I do have some friends that are that way as well. Right. And I
mean, oh, that's funny. Okay. So
not the adventurous type, but, you know, people are people. Teach their own, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So how long have you been hunting for?
I originally got my PAL and I did my core in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah. So about, I guess it's coming up on, it's about 9 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Did your family hunt? Like, did you?
No, not at all. Wow. Not that I knew of anyways. Yeah, we have mostly grown up in, I mostly grew up in around Vancouver. We spent a little bit of time out in Ontario when I was young. Yeah, my dad was not a hunter. As far as I knew, like no aunts, uncles, grandparents, nobody hunted. My dad's best friend growing up, like when I was growing up, anyways, he was a big, big time hunter, big gun guy. He used to do the kind of cowboy action competition shooting.
Oh, wow, crazy.
Fantastic outdoorsman, obsessive fly fisherman. Unfortunately, he passed away kind of just before I was getting into all of this back in 2015. So, he would have definitely been a great mentor, but unfortunately, it didn't play out that way. But I had none of that growing up.
So we
never really talked about it even.
So this is super interesting to me. So, So what inspired you like to say, this is something I want to pursue. I want to get into it and see if this is for Chris. Like, you know, I'm sure you probably said, I need to find out if this is for me because I didn't grow up tagging along in the bush with my dad. Like I did to when I finally reached like 14 going, oh yeah, no, I'm doing this too. When can I get at it? So what? Oh, tell us about this path that brought you to hunting.
It's kind of a funny story. So, I guess it was in early 2015. We went to a couple of buddies and myself, we went out to the, BC Sportsman Show at a TradeX there in Abbotsford. And, you know, we were walking around. I had no real desire to start hunting or anything like that. And yeah, we're walking around the show and I'm taking a look at stuff, and we're looking at quads and this and that, all kinds of fun outdoor stuff. And we hit the beer garden. So of course, after you have a couple pints, you're like, ah, okay, I
Ready to
gotta
be a
use the restroom there,
hunter.
right? So I head into the restroom, and my buddies shortly they follow. And we're all at the urinals there, just chatting about whatnot. I'm like,
Man
maybe
stuff.
I should get my gun license. And I hear a voice over by the sinks, and this guy's like, well, you found the right guy or whatever. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. Like, we're inside this restroom here. And yeah, anyway, so we all wash our hands, of course, and he hands me his card. And he was a firearms instructor, and so I thought, okay, this is kind of cool. And he said, yeah, I do my I can get you your PAL, your R PAL, and I also do the CORE program. And so I started asking questions, and he had kind of a package deal, the 3-for-1 deal. Get your PAL, your R PAL, and your CORE all done over a couple of weekends. And yeah, that was that's how it happened. I ended up taking his course. He was a fantastic instructor. I believe he was RCMP or maybe VPD officer, retired, and that's what he does now. So firearm safety training, as well as CORE. And he was a fantastic instructor, very, very passionate hunter as well. Full of lots, lots and lots of stories. Yeah, great course. So
That is a pretty funny story
yeah, it was
to
definitely
your
kind of
path into
unorthodox,
hunting.
but
And
yeah.
because you hear all these stories, like the people, like they see those what's that? There's a some show on Netflix or whatever about factory farming and stuff, and people are like just like eyes wide open, and they're like, okay, we don't want to buy meat in the grocery store anymore, and like stories like that, right? And
Yeah.
so this one is a
Well, there was a bit
that's
of
a unique to
my
you.
two, yeah, my two buddies already had their hunting licenses, and they were just kind of dragging me along to the show. It was something to do on a Friday night or whatever it was. And there was a little bit of peer pressure there. Yeah, go do it. It's going to be awesome. Whatever. We can all go hunting together. And at the time, I was like, didn't really have any desire really to go hunting, but I always was curious about it. That's the thing. So, I thought, well, if I'm gonna do my PAL and my R PAL, then I may as well do the CORE program as well, just to educate myself, because I'm also very I like to learn new skills and try new things all the time. But yeah, it's kind of turned into one of those. It's become a bit of a lifelong obsession now, I think. Yeah.
You got the hooks are in you,
Oh yeah, I've got the
the
bug
bug
now,
bit,
so
yeah.
yeah.
What's the thing that lights you up about hunting? Like that you're just like, yes, this is something I wanted to be a big part of my life.
Yeah, I guess I just, growing up in the city, I had seen a very, very small fraction of the province. You see 100 meters on either side of the freeway when you're driving between, Vancouver and Kelowna, or Vancouver and the island, or wherever, right? And it's a way for me to really kind of get out and enjoy all the province has to offer. And there's a lot. So yeah, you'll find something new every single time you step out the door, right?
So it's kind of the means to create some wilderness adventures as well for you, kind of. Yeah, because you.
It definitely has become that. I mean, the first time I ever went on a hunting trip, quote unquote, we kind of went camping, and at that time I'd bought my first firearm, which is a Ruger 10/22, and we went up camping on a piece of property that my aunt owns. And yeah, we were up there, and get up in the morning and just kind of took a walk up the road, and there was a grouse. So the grouse was the technically the first thing that I harvested. But I just thought that that was pretty unbelievable. And I mean, I never gutted anything or prepared any animal from, you know, its live state until, you know, it's ready to consume. So that right then and there it happened, right? I mean, I had to clean this thing and I was super careful. I didn't want to, you know, get any of the guts on the meat and or do anything that I thought might spoil it. And yeah, we threw it in the pan and had it for breakfast right there. And
Cool. Cool.
yeah, that was and from that moment I would say I was absolutely hooked. Yeah, and there's
Exciting.
a few more grouse that day. But at that point I really didn't have any desire to go big game hunting. I thought, oh, you know, it's a bird, it's an easier kind of an easier what do you call it? Like a barrier to entry or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, it just felt like an easy first step, right? And I was pretty content with that.
Absolutely. I think that's pretty common for all of us. Like, I mean, I'm third generation hunter myself, and it's like, yeah, my earliest memories are getting grouse on the road when I was with my dad while he was moose hunting. Like
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
yeah, it's kind of like we're all there. We all know that exact feeling. The difference would probably be is for someone like myself, that was probably like 8 or 9 years old. And for you, it was, when you're an adult on living on your own kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I guess at that point, I was probably about 31 or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Still exciting. I still love grouse hunting.
oh yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, from there, like I said, I didn't really have any desire to go big game hunting. And then I just started thinking about it. I started kind of, you know, checking out a few YouTube videos and this and that. And, I was given, what was it? I think I was given a pack of venison sausage from somebody. I can't remember exactly who it was now. Somebody at work, I think. And, yeah, I ate those and wow, these are pretty delicious. I can get these. Like, this is something that is a product of hunting. So, yeah, I really started kind of doing a little bit of research and checking out the synopsis and, you know, seeing where I might be able to go. And then, of course, you know, you're not going to go deer hunting with a 10/22. So I had to get something a little bit more powerful. So I ended up buying a 30-06. And
Okay.
yeah, I started going out to the range, became a member out at our local range up in Poco, and started practicing with it and took it out to the bush a couple times over the summer. And yeah, from the next season, I felt I was pretty, you know, I was confident with the rifle. I thought I could make, you know, an ethical shot if an opportunity came up. At the same time, we had put in for a limited entry draw, a group of four of us, so my hunting buddies and one of the guys' dads, and we lucked out and we drew a moose tag, a group moose draw, and so we went up for I think about 10 days up north, and my buddy was successful, and that
Cool.
was a big step up from a grouse. Because at that point
Usually
he had never shot
it's like
anything.
grouse, deer, and then like moose, but yeah, you made a giant
So
leap
none of
there,
us
so.
had ever had a big game kill before
Oh,
that.
wow.
And that was a big leap. But you know, we had that thing down and we had it quartered and fit into the back of the truck. And that lasted us a very long time. That was a lot of meat, but we shared it between, you know, four families and gave a bunch to friends. And yeah, it was a fantastic experience all in all.
Neat. Well, yeah, it's, once, you've been hunting for quite a few years when you're with some friends on a great trip or whatever, and it's like it really comes down to it. Like, it doesn't matter whether you get it or someone else does it. It's just like this experience of like everybody being part of, you know, getting an animal and stuff is just is so cool. And then, you know, when you get to like my age, it's just sort of like you kind of want someone else that's in the group to have the experience to get it right. And but yeah, what a great way to kind of start out a little bit, to kind of like, you know, someone else's yeah. animal, and it's like, well, it's yours. You're going to have to figure out how to gut it. Where if you were the one, you'd be like, okay, I'm the one that's got to figure yeah. this out. So,
I mean, at this point I had consumed many hours of YouTube content on, on dressing an animal and, you know, the gutless method and, you know, very like, you know, varying different, ways you can get the job done. And,
yeah. Oh, good for you.
I mean, the knowledge did actually come in quite handy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I mean, keep in mind, like at this point, I had no mentors. I had a couple of buddies who were, you know, a little bit more experienced than I did at that point, but not really, you know, they weren't like hardcore, you know, 50 day a season kind of guys or anything like that. These are, you know, they live and work in the city just like I do. So, yeah, it's, I think the mentorship thing has really been kind of one of the most difficult parts about, starting hunting when you're older. Like I pretty much had to figure out everything by myself. Right. But the, yeah. you know, I did a couple classes along the way and, you know, I've done a lot of research and, consumed a lot of podcasts, tons of good information in podcasts if you listen to enough of them.
But, yeah. It's yeah. the, you know, not even just the mechanics of like what to do with an animal, you know, that you got it, that you can learn, but it's like not having the mentor, I could appreciate it's all the tiny little nuances of the acts, of hunting. And so, mm-hmm. so I grew up learning all that stuff, like where you just all of a sudden you stop on a trail and you say, see that on the side of that tree? And you're like, yeah, we'll see how the bark here is like gray, but then like it's reddish here, like it's been scraped off. And you're like, yeah, well, that's because of this, you know? Yeah. And like you got someone like your grandfather or your dad or whatever, that's like, you know, okay, there's a track. Notice how like this little leaf is flipped up on the track and it hasn't dried out yet. Like, see how it's still soft. Like you're down there on your hands and knees and somebody's, you know, showing you these things and you're like, yeah. okay, this is like, this just happened. Like this elk or whatever is maybe just up the trail from us, those sorts of things. And I would just, yeah, I, cause those are the types of things that I pass on, you mm-hmm. know, now those little tiny things that you're probably not going to get from a YouTube or a podcast, you know, kind of thing.
Definitely. I mean, and yeah, with regards to finding sign and whatnot, that was actually kind of one of the funniest things. I remember, you know, coming across, like, let's say some moose poop or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that looks super fresh. And I'm all excited. And now I'm thinking about it, man, that must've been like a month or two old at least. Like, it's all dry and crusty. I'm like, it's just, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there were many, many, many mistakes made along the way. And, yeah, I mean, even still to this day, it's,
Oh, we all do. Yeah. It's a journey of learning. Like we're immersed in this complex system of like millions of years of evolution and, you know, we're stumbling around in here trying to figure out things that are much more adapted to avoiding us and knowing how to, you know, live on the landscape. And it's like, you know, it's just your hunting career is just this lifelong endeavor of like, that worked, a whole bunch of like, that didn't work. Oh, I didn't know that. And it's exciting, like after years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you're going like, oh, I didn't know they did that. Wow. Look at yeah. that. You know, yeah, and it's definitely. Just keeps you going out. So,
oh, yeah.
So we kind of talked like there was the adventure part, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. like you're getting out, getting in the wilderness. And then when you talked about yep. the grouse, like just mm-hmm. this process of like a bird to the pan to like your, you know, yeah. the field to fork sort of thing. So
yeah,
like those are probably both important, but what do you think is like the most important to you? Is it the experience of being out hunting in the outdoors, or is it this, like, I want to make food out of this activity?
The two definitely go hand in hand. I mean, I
Okay.
couldn't really pick one or the other. The aspect of going out and I guess finding wild food, whether it's a big game animal or even mushrooms. Like I've gotten into mushroom foraging because of hunting. I was curious about the mushrooms I see on the ground, and I started doing a bit of research, and here we are. So, yeah, the food aspect is huge, but the adventure aspect is just as huge.
No, it's yeah, no,
I couldn't
that's
choose between the
cool.
two. Yeah,
That's cool.
it's
Yeah,
yeah.
years ago I did a podcast with a friend. He's up in Edmonton, Kevin Kosiwan. He has the From the Wild series.
I
And
have his
he
a bottle of shows.
Oh, do you? No, they're
Yeah,
great.
his series. Yeah, I
I love
subscribe to
him.
that.
He
So,
just breaks the mold of like outdoor shows that have hunting and fishing in it. Like he's a great guy, great philosophy. But I remember him saying one time on one of our shows, he's like, don't think of it as a hunting trip. Think of it as a harvesting trip, because there's always something that you can harvest, whether it's a botanical or a game animal. And so therefore it's like you can always have successful trips, whether they're, you're spring bear hunting and you're like, well, there's no bears or whatever, but it's like, holy, all the fiddleheads are coming up and you're on your hands and knees filling your hat. Or we've all done the mushroom thing where you're just like, oh, that's elk hunt's over, and has anybody got a Ziploc bag in their pack or whatever, and you're picking them all, and that feels good, because I think that's where the whole our whole roots came from, is like hunter gatherers. You didn't walk past an opportunity to kill or something that was edible.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, there's some pretty delicious stuff out there that's not, not meat. I mean, as much as I would love to come home with an animal every single time I go hunting, which clearly is not the case. It's
It's not that way for
you know,
all of us.
yeah, exactly. It's I do like to come home with at least something. We went out spring bear hunting. What was that? Maybe. Had to have been 3 or 4 years ago now, pre-pandemic anyways. And we were in an area that the year before was beautiful and green, and unbeknownst to us, it got hammered by wildfires over the summer. And we came back in the spring not knowing, and we had this amazing rec site that we'd found, and right by a river, beautiful spot, and everything was burnt. So we kind of roll up and we're like, holy cow, what happened here? And we had realized this was the edge of, it was one of BC's biggest wildfires. I can't remember the exact, might have been the Elephant Hill one, actually, now that I think about it. Massive fire, destroyed everything. And, we're like, okay, well, we're here. We can at least have a look around and see. So it was too late in the day to go really go anywhere. So we set up our tents and whatnot, and it was kind of ashy, terrain, and the next day we started cruising around just trying to see where the edge of the fire was and if we could get into some greenery to see if we could find a bear. And I wasn't really into bear hunting at that point. My two other buddies were all about it. They were super stoked to get out there and get their first bear. But I was like, maybe I'll just do a little fishing and come along for the ride, and if you guys need help, I'm there. It was, I think it was a May long weekend actually. And I ended up picking 20 pounds of morels that day. So I filled a huge Rubbermaid tub full of them and brought them back home, dehydrated them, threw them in the freezer, and I had morels for like, I don't know, 2 years. So
Oh,
it was
that
crazy.
is so cool. I mean, yeah, you find morels, it's like you can literally like abandon a hunting trip and pick. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's always wildlife around burns and stuff, but man, if the morel picking's good, it's like, no, forget it. Can go hunting anytime, but now's the time to pick morels. So so now walk us through a little bit. So started hunting in 2015, and like how's it been going? Like, have you managed to get your first big game animal? Like, kind of.
Yep, I did last fall. I've been on a few, well, quite a few successful hunts over the years. Unfortunately, none of them were my animals. I just happened to be along on the trip, and somebody else got something. And you know, when somebody else gets something, it's, you know, typically, well, not always the end of the trip, but you know, it kind of, taking care of that meat becomes the priority.
Yeah, 100%.
Unless you're really far out somewhere, but you know, living in the city, it's really difficult to get to hunting spots sometimes. I mean, we have to go at least kind of 2 hours or more to even, you know, get somewhere where it's legal to shoot something. So yeah, last fall was the first, my first big game animal. It was a black bear. Nice bear, not the biggest one. But you know, it was pretty non-eventful. We were cruising up a service road. We had intended to drive all the way to the end. I think it was about 60 kilometers. And then we were going to get out of the truck, and we had plans to hike in about, you know, 10, maybe 15 K and, you know, get off the trail, which has really been our focus in the last few years, put on some serious miles on the hiking boots. But, this didn't happen that way, for my first bear. We were cruising up this road, and no joke, there's a bear on the side of the road, and I ended up taking it home. It was, just like a nice little black bear. And,
cool.
Yeah. It's in my freezer right now. So
nice. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's so many bad stories that people try to say, like, you know, bears inedible and stuff like that. And man, it's one
that
of
is the, not the case. I will tell you,
one of the best meats.
It's personally my favorite, as far as, you know, the local, your typical BC game species. It's extremely versatile. There are plenty of bears around. Their population numbers are exploding across the province. They're everywhere, like top to bottom, you know, east to west, they're all over the province, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good ethical,
for
sustainable
sure.
hunt. Yeah. There's no
exactly.
doubt about it. Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, the rules are, pretty simple. You know, you don't have to count points, pretty much, you know, really the only rule is like, you know, if it's a single bear, it's technically fair game, right?
Yep. 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 Just nothing that's a family unit.
Yeah, exactly. So, and, I mean, clearly the efforts behind, population growth have been working. I mean, if you come up with rules like that, you know, don't kill a family unit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to, That's pretty much all we need to do, right? It's,
yeah, so it is a relatively less stressful hunt in the sense of,
so.
Like, you know, if it's like something's supposed to be a mule deer, supposed to be 4 point, or an elk is supposed
yep.
to be a 6 point, or a moose is supposed to be a tri-palm or whatever, or a sheep, a full
yeah.
curl. There's just all this, yeah, like there's a serious level of stress to that's, you know, and... You know,
mm-hmm.
some hunters do make honest mistakes with those point restriction things. Some make stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
But it is kind of nice with like a bear being big game that is just sort of like, you know, watch a little bit and it's like, nope, it's by itself or.
Yeah. And I mean, you can literally utilize the entire animal. It's, the hide's fantastic. I'm actually heading up to Kelowna next week to bring it to Jay Martin.
Yeah, cool.
Taken care of. So,
yeah, that's
yeah,
awesome.
So.
I got one on the back of the chair yeah. right here. It's like I throw it on top of me out in camp, like on top of
yep.
my sleeping bag, because it's like it adds like 10 degrees of warmth. So,
oh yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. So, okay, so started in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You said last year you got your bear.
Yeah.
So that
so it's about
23,
yeah, somewhere around 8.5 years, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, I wouldn't consider all those other years failed hunting seasons. I mean, we've, between you know, my buddies and I, we've collectively gotten a few animals. And I mean, put it this way, if I was going out every single year and not seeing a single animal, then I'd be doing something really wrong. I've had some pretty good opportunities. I've blown a couple. One was pretty, it was kind of a bit of a bummer. I had a shot at another bear, and it was a big one, very, very nice bear. And I missed it completely. I had the worst buck fever, I think, you know, ever. And, you know, I was shaking like a leaf, and I shot right over its back. And then it just stopped, looked at me, and, you know, you could see in its eyes, it was just like, not today, sucker. And just walked off into the bush, and I had half a mind to kind of go in after it because it was just so like casually walking away. And I was like, oh, this thing is absolutely massive. And you know, I mean, they're a big, powerful animal, and it was pretty thick bush. And yeah,
Best
I did
not.
not go in after it. So
No.
yeah, that was, I was really worried that I'd actually hit it. And you know, but just the way that it reacted, I knew that I'd missed. And we spent hours looking for even a piece of fur on the ground or something like that, and there was nothing. It
Just a
was
clean miss. That's
yeah.
the
And
best case scenario for sure.
for sure. And now I make it, it's kind of my mission to never let that happen again.
We all have to
Yeah.
use one of those moments to sort of change, our motivations, our control or reasons for, pulling the trigger. It's like everybody's gone through those, everybody. And sometimes they're a miss and sometimes they're not. And it's a hard lesson to walk away knowing that, you have hit an animal and just can't find it. And that's part of life. I think Steve Rinella is the one that said that hunting is an arena of consequences, right? And there's consequences to your actions, which is a good life lesson,
Definitely.
as well. Sometimes they're not good lessons, but you gotta move on. So, I mean, it's cool to hear like that you weren't like, oh, I got into hunting and all this, and you watch all these shows, and it's like everybody gets everything, and then it's like years have gone by, and I haven't got anything, and but not getting demoralized by that, going, ass.
Yeah, not at all.
You got, I'm going
And
to take up golf.
yeah, no, 100%. I mean, even I don't know, in my opinion, the worst day in the bush is still better than the best day at work, right? So it's
No,
yeah.
that's a good way to look at it. And like when you're, like pick some mushrooms, see some stuff, explore some country and all that kind of stuff. And those are all the things that are part of hunting that it just seems so hard to convey that to people. Oh, you just like to kill things. And it's like, well, if I did, I wouldn't be really fulfilling my morbid desires by taking 8 years to do it, right? Like people
Exactly, yeah.
don't get that. No, we're not
No, they
doing it
don't.
because we like killing something, because it's freaking hard.
It's extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult to come from zero experience, and have to learn, you know, you have to learn basically, you're learning biology, you're learning map reading, navigation, all these different skills. There's like a little bit of even, you know, a little bit of survival skills in there. There's all kinds of stuff.
You learn a lot about yourself,
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of hours where, you know, especially if you're out there by yourself, you know, you've only got yourself to talk to, kind of thing. And yeah, you do learn a lot about yourself. And yeah, it's all
No, that's
while taking
cool.
in the most epic scenery and the freshest air. And
It's just it's all so much of it. And one of the things I've always looked at too, like a lot of people thought, well, that was the end of that hunting season, and I didn't get anything this hunting season, or that was a good season, can't wait till next year. And I've never ever looked at like a hunting season being a beginning and an end. It's like that is called my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, I started as early as I can, my earliest recollections, cause like, you know, my family hunted and trapped and stuff. And so like I was involved in it then, and I've been learning, you know, everything since I was a little kid till when I'm no longer around. It's this one long entire process. And within that is punctuated by some hunting seasons and some off seasons, but it's like, it's always hunting season in some way, shape or form. I mean, I can't even drive downtown to go get groceries and I'm not like, oh, there's the ducks flying over. Like, and I'm, you know, keep your eyes on the high, watch what you're doing. It's like, well, I got to see where them ducks are going. Yeah. Where are they going to feed? Right. Like, it's just like, that's always hunting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even in the kind of the off seasons, we're pretty fortunate in BC. We don't really have, there's something to hunt pretty much all year in some part of the province.
Oh, very true.
But yeah, but, you know, a lot of them require driving a very long distance or, you know, driving, taking ferries and multiple ferries. And it's just not really feasible for most people, including myself. But, you know, I don't know. I just, the off season is kind of a time for me to do a bit more research. I can slow down, plan stuff out. Like, even right now I'm, planning out where I'm going to go spring bear hunting this year. And we're already kind of looking at, oh, you know, what LEH, draws we're going to put in for and trying to plan out our fall season. It's kind of mostly planned out now, I think. Yeah, it's never not on my mind.
Yeah, and that to me is still all hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like the planning, the preparation, your gear, fitness stuff that you want to do to get yourself ready. Like that's in the big picture, that's just all part of hunting. When you pull out some meat at nighttime and thaw it out and make a dish or whatever, I'm like, well, that's still part of hunting, right? Like that end of it. And I think that's why so many people say like, it's not a hobby. It's not a sport. It's just, it's like my life. It's a way of 100%. Life. And
it is. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. That's exciting for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Hoping this fall I'd really like to get a nice mule deer. I think that would be fantastic. See if I can make that happen.
Yeah, but, you gotta. I mean, BC's got so many choices. It's kind of like you just need to focus on it. I know whenever I've gone to the river to go fishing, and it's like, well, there could be cutthroat, you know, and they could be taking the dry fly, but then there could be some big bull trout down in the pools or whatever, and get a heavy weighted streamer. And it's like, well, I'll take the big rod and the small rod. And when you're kind of like trying to cover all your bases, it doesn't seem like you're good at anything. Where if you're just like, I'm just going to go do this. And hunting's the same way. It's like, you're either just going to hunt a bear or you're just going to hunt a moose. And
yeah, that was definitely something that I had to, learn. I'm still one of those guys that buys a tag for pretty much everything every season, just in case.
Oh yeah, we all do, because you know, you're glassing for a mule deer and you're like, well, would you look at that standing over on the hillside, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, opportunity's part of hunting as well. But if you can't make up your mind, if you're going to be like down in the bottom looking for a whitetail, or then maybe go up and then look for a mule deer, and you know, maybe I can go halfway up the mountain and look above and look below me. It's like, no, just pick one of the two species and like, put your heart into hunting hard for it.
Yeah. I've definitely had to really do some research on different habitat. I did a few of the Eat Wild, webinars, a couple of Dylan's in-person classes. I did a sausage making class and a butchering class.
Both yeah. Super he's useful. Awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic. The webinars were great. There's a really good e-scouting one, as well as, just like a couple of like the species specific ones that he's done, have been pretty helpful. So I'm hoping great, to put
great
those
way,
to use.
Great way to learn. Yeah, he's a good mentor. He does like to share his knowledge and stuff and help people out. And that's pretty cool in this day and age and for someone like yourself. So, well, yeah, to really round out your whole hunting way of life, where is it in the province you want to move to?
Oh, I don't know. Unfortunately, I'm probably going to be sticking around the city for a while because of work. But I don't know. I'm originally from the island. So yeah, I don't know. The island is good, but then you're limited on species. Like you're not finding any moose over there. So I don't know, somewhere in the middle. It's, yeah, I go different directions every day. Right. So,
cause you got to dream about that, you know, or like folks like me that can, in the fall at 4:30 or whatever afterwards, you're like, oh, I still got a couple hours. I can just like whip out the back right there and like, maybe find a buck or something like that. And where you're like, oh, you bastard.
I mean, I've got a buddy that lives, I think he's somewhere in the Shuswap area or something like that. And I mean, he's a couple of minutes away from, you know, some of the best hunting in that area or whatever. And he's always sending me pictures and he's like, oh, look what I got today. Like, you know, just got off work and popped down this road and there he was. I'm like, oh man, it's making it sound so easy, but it's,
and you're like, shit, I'm stuck in traffic.
But then at the same time, like, you know, it's, like, I'd really love to do like a big hike and hunt or something like that. And do that too. Like, I mean, sheep hunting would be pretty awesome. I'm definitely not there yet. I know that, but, maybe someday we'll see.
Oh, there's so much. We're blessed in British Columbia and Canada. You know, like when you look around at every one of the provinces, like, I mean, there's a lot of really good, really, you know, good hunting. And I, you know, I think there's, you know, there's places in the States where it's like, you know, they got white-tailed deer and a turkey, you know, and that's kind of it. And like, even you go to Saskatchewan, they got elk and moose and black bears and turkeys and, you know, like it's pretty darn good in Canada.
Yeah. And you get some stuff we don't get here. You get the antelope and, all kinds of stuff, right?
Yep. No, that'd be a pretty cool hunt. Yeah. Chris, this has been awesome. Awesome hearing your story, you know, sharing your story. I hope there's, you know, people out there that are listening that kind of identify. I think you're much more of the typical, you know, like middle-aged young person in hunting now, that it's more the path that you talked about than what I grew up with is becoming like less common. I hope, you know, one day that, you know, you have a family or, you know, it's like, then that changes, you know, going, I never started hunting till, but you know, kids grew up with it or something like that. Right. Like it has the potential to come back. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's, it's one of those things where, I have tried to get a couple of other people into it. Actually I gifted my apprentice at work, this core program a couple of years ago. So now he's right into it as well.
Oh, cool.
You know, it was a Christmas present, right? And he worked hard all year and showed a bit of interest. I was like, here you go.
No,
go your core program. And,
good for you.
He's into good it now too. So
no, it's a wonderful thing to do to share this with other people as well. So
for sure.
Chris, thanks so much. Really cool story. Really cool story. My favorite is the bathroom.
That was
moment
so random,
that got you to decide you wanted to go into hunting. I think there's I can podcast for 10 more years. I'll probably never run across that story again.
Yeah, it was definitely unique, if you want to put it that way. So
yeah, absolutely. And just the fact that the guy standing behind you was a firearm and hunting instructor is even more hilarious.
Yeah, I just overheard our conversation and decided to chime in, and well, here we are. So
that's hilarious. Well, it's a good marketing strategy.
For sure.
Hang out in the at the washroom at the outdoor show with your instructor's card and get a few people into hunting. Exactly. Chris, thanks so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks again, me too.